I hope this is the right one. Thank you for being here this morning. Good crowd. I appreciate you coming. Smoke's not quite as bad today as it was yesterday, but I do thank you for being faithful during these times as we're adjusting. Of course, we started schools this week, our college and our school, and so we will be looking at the schedule to adjust it a little bit with that, so be patient with us, but thank you for being in church. Church, and I know we've went over this, and church is not essential. It's just, it's vital, okay? You have to have it. It's like saying, is air essential? Okay, church is essential, and I know you believe that by your attendance, and I thank you for being here. By the way, we do have a blessing. I didn't want to jinx it on Thursday, but we actually did get wood for our basketball court. We pick up the rest of it tomorrow, but we picked up a big load on Saturday. You say, as I mentioned before, what's a big deal about that? $75,000, that's the big deal. Okay, we saved a boatload of money on that. That's, floors are expensive. And so, thank John Fierro, he's in doing the deaf thing over there, but he put us in contact with them. And that's an answer to prayer. I was praying about that because it looked like we weren't going to get it. And I'm like, sometimes you barter with God, like, wait a minute, Lord, this is just really bad deal. It's just sitting there. They're throwing it away, and you wouldn't want us to waste $75,000. I'm pretty sure about that. So why don't you just go ahead and give it to us? And I think other people were praying too, and he gave it to us. So thankful for that. I want to encourage us a little bit this morning. And as I mentioned, I'm not trying to be a broken record, but you know, as I know, we just live in very, very unsettled and uneasy times. It is just, you know, every day it's something different. Come to find out that a lot of the wildfires up north are being purposely set. And it's just one thing after another, and it's so easy. We stayed in the Portland area. We did not stay in Portland, okay? We had no desire to go to Portland, although the boys left every night. I don't know why. But but the people up there, when we went to church, are like, you know, every night. It's just ridiculous, and it's government-sanctioned protests that aren't even really protests. It's anarchy, and just causing damage and hurting people. And now we see in California, other states are starting to loosen up the restrictions a little bit, as long as you're safe. But in California, although the numbers are way down and things are going better, our governor is tightening the screws, particularly on churches. And it's ridiculous. We have a Supreme Court that thinks it's okay in Nevada to open up casinos at 50% capacity, but not churches. And I'm not saying that to complain. I'm just making a point that we understand. We live in crazy, crazy time. Brother Treber, our good friend up north, his church is being targeted. John MacArthur in, Irvine. What is it? I can't hear the first one. Sun Valley. He's being targeted, okay? And then our court just ruled on Thursday that really, and this is the essence of what they were saying, that the health department supersedes the Constitution, and that's, which would be okay if they were legitimate, but they're a political organization now. They don't look at science. And the point I'm making is it's just crazy. But here's the thing that I don't want us to get. We could get fearful if we're not careful. Now, I look at those things, and I want us just to be aware of those things. Because eventually, if things don't change, they're going to come after our church. Okay? And maybe it's not this year. Maybe it's 5 years from now. Maybe it's 10 years down the line. But the point is, we don't need to be fearful. God doesn't want us to be fearful. Too many people live in fear, paralyzing fear. All they do is they immerse their mind in all the negativity that's going on around them, and it causes them to be fearful about the future and fearful about what's going on in their life, and that's not the spirit that God wants us to have. If we're not careful, we can get a nagging fear. When you're fearful, it causes stress. Stress really is when we lack the ability to deal with all that's coming our way. And a lot of time, the things that come our way that cause us to be stressful are things that aren't even legitimate. It's things we've looked at and we're overthinking it, or we're making it worse than it really is in our own mind. Sometimes we worry. Of course, the Bible tells us not to worry. We're really to pray. But then there are a few things that really are not supposed to be legitimate. Sometimes it causes us to be silent. And by the way, as Christians, we can't be silent. I'm not saying we're supposed to be, mean-spirited. But as Christian, why do Christians think that the way to handle something that we don't agree with is to be completely quiet about it? By the way, that's what they're trying to do. They just don't want to hear our side of the story. That's what this whole cancel culture is. So it's if you don't agree with me and I don't like what you say, you don't have a right to say anything. Whatever happened to tolerance? Tolerance nowadays means, yes, I'm tolerant of you if you believe what I believe. Or you have to accept my beliefs as being as valid as your beliefs. That's never what tolerance was supposed to be. Tolerance is you have a right to believe whatever you want, right or wrong. But you don't have a right to force it on somebody else. But that's what's going on. But we cannot allow these things to help us, to cause us to live in fear. Because fear is an attack on our Christianity. If you're fearful, you are really attacking your own Christianity. Because in spite of all that's going on around us, things are still good. God is, that was weak. Let me try that again, okay? In spite of all that's going on around us, things are still good. That's better. God is still in control. You know, he didn't fall off the throne. God doesn't read the newspaper, or if he doesn't have a Twitter account, and he wouldn't read the newspaper probably, but if he hears a story, he doesn't say, wow, I didn't know that was happening. God has it under control. Okay, now we're supposed to do what we're supposed to do, but we serve a God who knows and controls everything. Therefore, we do not need to fear. Why? Because if we're not careful, fear can cause us to be shameful. Shameful of what we believe in the face of what other people are telling us. And that's what they're trying to do. That's what society tries to do. They've always tried to do that. If you believe in God, you're wrong. And it gets us to feel sometimes, am I missing something here? No, we're not missing anything. They're missing something. People in the Bible also were not immune to these same feelings. Maybe more so as they faced more than we do in our modern society. Think of this, as Paul wrote this to Timothy, he's in prison, awaiting which most certainly is going to be his execution. Most of his associates were gone. They had forsook him. Only Luke is with him in this very dark hour in his life. So you can see how Paul felt, but you can't see it from the tone of the epistle that he wrote, because Paul didn't let that dictate his life. His concern at this time, think about it, as he's in prison, he's on the list for to die, but his concern is for Timothy, his young son in the faith. He was concerned for him and his success in getting the gospel out. He wants to write to Timothy to make sure that he understands, because Timothy will hear that Paul has been executed someday, and Timothy's got to go forward, and he doesn't want Timothy to be ashamed. He doesn't want Timothy to live in this fear. He's encouraging him to rekindle the flame and passion of serving Christ and not give in to the feelings of fear and be shameful of what he believes in the face of what is coming his way. This is the kind of fear that would stifle him and silence him. That's what verse 7 says to us. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. But then he takes it a step further when he gets to verse 8. He says, be thou therefore, because of this, that God's not given us the spirit of fear. God has given us power, love, and a sound mind. Although some of you, I wonder about the sound mind part. He says, be thou partaker, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. He says, don't be ashamed of the Lord. All that's going on around me, yes, I'm in prison, and yes, you know, he's probably going to be executed, and he will. And all the people are against you. Have this spirit. Don't have the spirit of fear. The Spirit of God's power and of love and of a sound mind. Don't let this get to you, Timothy. And it'll show forth itself in you not being ashamed of the testimony of the Lord. By the way, if we are saved, we ought not be ashamed of the Lord. Amen. People ought to know we're a Christian. Well, if I say something at work, they're gonna talk me down. Don't let that bother you. People ought to know you're a Christian. They ought to know what you believe. They ought to know that you believe in Jesus Christ. And don't be ashamed of others. He's saying, look, don't be ashamed of me, nor his prisoner. Don't be ashamed that you know Paul and what he accomplished, and he's well known. Don't be ashamed of it. That's the problem. Let me say this as nicely as we can. As Christians, we have nothing to be fearful of, and we have nothing to be ashamed of. Let the world say what they want about Christianity. Let them say what they want about us. We know the Lord. We have nothing to be ashamed of. There's no reason. By the way, let me just say this. Our society is not ashamed of what they believe. And if we don't agree with them, we're a whatever phobe. They like these names. They don't like what we say. They block social media accounts. I mean, they block the president's account. They're not very tolerant. Now we see entertainment. They're not ashamed. Netflix is pushing child exploitation. But that's bad. But what's bad is people running to their defense. That's just incomprehensible. You say, I don't know what you're talking about. Good, but if you have Netflix, you need to get rid of it. They're exploiting children. You just see it goes on and on and on. And when they're called out on it, they don't back down. We live in a time when they double down. And we're going to back down on what we believe? We can't. We can't be ashamed of what we believe. We're either going to accept all that comes with believing in the Lord, or we're going to be ashamed. We're going to be silent. You say, well, I'm not ashamed, but I'm silent. You might as well be ashamed. And so Paul talks about that here. And I want to talk about that. Let's not be ashamed. Let's be accepting of everything that Christianity brings. Why? Let me give you three thoughts. First of all, if we accept everything. Paul said, accept the Lord, accept his testimony, accept me as prayer. He goes, accept all of it. The Lord and those who serve him, be a part of it. Don't be ashamed. If we accept it, it helps us to overcome anxiety or fear, whatever you want to call it. Look at verse 7. This is such a tremendous verse. He says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear. If you're fearful today, that's your spirit. Now, there's all things in our mind we think about like fear, but I'm talking about that spirit's overtaken you. It doesn't come from God. It doesn't. Remember, the just shall live by faith. Faith is the opposite of fear. Faith is believing in God at a time when you would want to live in fear. And so he says, God, that's not from God. God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but he does tell us what he has given us, but of a power and of love and of a sound mind. So where does that fearful spirit come from if we have it? Where does that desire to back down in our faith? Well, it can come from Satan. He's always going to be throwing darts at us. It can come from ourselves. We're overthinking things and we're not in the Word of God and we're not allowing God's Word to strengthen and build our faith. Or it comes from society. Society is just very vocal and tries to push us down at every step of the way. No, that's not from God. It comes from allowing outside pressure to dictate our inward emotions. See, I get irritated with what's going on in our society. I get irritated at these things, but I'll just be honest with you. I'm not fearful about them. I just get irritated about it because I just wish there was a better way. And I see the results of some of these ignorant movements, how it hurts individuals. I mean, they throw it under the guise of we're trying to help these people, and they're not doing anything to help the very people they claim to want to help. That's the sad part. But it's just an irritation. Because I want people to know the truth. The truth of God's word brings that freedom. The truth of God's word can change an individual. But we can't let it get to us. I can't let it determine how I feel. I can't let it determine how I act. I've got to let God's word determine how I act and how I feel. But he gives us a nature of this anxiety. He gives us a prescription for it. How can we overcome this anxiety or fear? Well, he mentions three things. First, his power. His power. You ever feel powerless? You ever feel helpless? Good. There's nothing wrong with that, because it's not supposed to be our power anyhow. We have to understand that the only power we have to accomplish anything in life, in our lives, or anybody else's, it's his power, not our own. And he says, I've given you that power. And so when fear starts to come our way and we start to back down, we need to say, wait a minute. I can stand in the power of his might, his power working through us. You can live for God. You can stand for God, because you do not do it on your own. God gives you the power to do that. But if we will only fight the fear. As we obey and do what we can, God, as we do our part to try to obey God, God empowers us to do that which we feel like we cannot do. Look, we're not facing anything near what some people have faced in our world today and throughout time. I read a story once of an early church martyr, the very early days of the church. He was afraid that on the day he was to be martyred, he was going to be burned, he was afraid that he may not be able to take it and that he would dishonor God at the moment of his death. And so the day before, when he was in prison, he was able to start a fire. And he just said, "I'm going to put the fire and see how I do to the pain." And he started to put the fire to his arm, and he just couldn't take it. And he was afraid. He goes, "I'm going to dishonor God tomorrow." But you know what? As he was put to death, he did not dishonor his Lord. He was able to stand. Now look, God's not asking us to be burned at the stake. God's asking us to stand up for the testimony of Jesus Christ. And we don't do that in ourselves. We do that in his power. We also do overcome it with his love. He has given us the spirit of his power and of love. Think of everything that's going on around us. There's one thing that will never, ever, ever change. God loves you. God loves you. And by the way, don't mistake as I mention some things I don't like about what's going on, that we feel that the world is our enemy. Now, I'll just be honest with you. I'm not a fan of our governor. You're not going to see a sign on my lawn. You're not. I don't hate the man. I pray for him every day. I pray, because I'm commanded by the Bible to do so. Now, the prayer might not be exactly what he prefers. I pray that he would come to know the Lord, that he would might make the right decisions, even outside of his own political beliefs, and that if not, maybe he gets recalled. I don't know. But I don't hate him. If I saw him, I would be respectful to him. But I would have no problem telling him where I disagree. See, I get irritated with what's going on in these people, but I also understand on the back end that they're not saved. But see, what happens sometimes, we allow the fact that we're supposed to love them to push us to accept what they're doing. I'm never going to accept what he's doing, is if it's wrong. But I'm going to love him. See, we're supposed to love everybody, even those we disagree with. And we have this fear, but it's like, don't let the fear keep us from having the kind of love for people that God wants us to have. Now, that doesn't mean if somebody does something wrong, they shouldn't be punished by the law. Amen? You can love them while they're being punished. But love. We don't know what love is anymore. We think love is something that's self-serving. It's something that serves us. No, love is for the good of others. Then he gives us a third thing. His stability. He says he's given us a sound mind. Sound means clear, disciplined. In other words, our mind is clear and right in what is going on around us. Sometimes, see what happens when we get fearful. There's so much going on in here, we're not thinking correctly at that moment. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You a decision you would normally make that's right, you don't make. I remember several years ago, I woke up one night, I mentioned one of the other messages, I couldn't breathe. Something was jammed in my throat, and I'm like, I can't breathe. So my wife decides to call 911. Now, she didn't grab her cell phone. She grabbed the home phone. She forgot how to use it. And after a few seconds, I was able to, whatever was in there, I was able to get it out. And I'm like, oh, okay, I'm okay. Let me just catch up. But now she's like, I couldn't dial 911. I'm like, well, thanks, you know. That wouldn't have helped very much. By the way, give her, I don't use the home phone either. I probably forgot how to use it. But she was all nervous and like, well, what's the number to 911 again? It's like, wait, no. There you go, right there. But that happens, right? Our mind gets clouded because there's so much we're thinking about. But God's like, listen, in the midst that's all that's going around us, if we're thinking biblically and we're not letting that fear overcome us, we're going to think correctly. We're going to be able to make the right decisions in the face of all the drama and all the nonsense that's around us. That comes through the Word of God. When the Word of God is in your mind and something is coming, you're going, no, that's not the right way to react. This is the right way to react. By the way, never follow your emotions. Okay? Emotions are okay, but they make horrible decisions. Sound mind. Scriptures in our minds so that we're doing the right thing in the right way. Stability. That only comes when we're not ashamed and fearful. Secondly, I want us to notice that acceptance has abundant assets. Just as God has given us a prescription to overcome our fears, His power and His love and a sound mind, He's given us assets. These are tremendous assets that help us. What are they? Look at verse 8. First of all, the asset we have is the witness. He says, "Be thou therefore not ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." He says, don't be ashamed. This testimony of Christ and this testimony of Paul, and really by inference, maybe other Christians, he goes, don't be ashamed of that. Accept that, even if it means, as he says, that we're a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. Now, they were really persecuted for standing for the faith in the biblical days in the early church. He says, but don't let that stop you. Why? We have a witness. We have a witness of Christ. We have a witness of others who stood for Christ, and we need to make that witness our very own. You see, one of the biggest things in our life as a Christian, we're to be a witness to this world of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. That's what we're supposed to do. And we can't let anything stop us from doing that. We can't let it. We have the testimony of the Lord, Jesus Christ, who died for us. We have the testimonies he did of Timothy and others, and we can look back throughout church history of those who are persecuted for simply witnessing for the faith. I read it many years ago, but I started reading it again. I haven't read it in forever. Pilgrim's Progress by Bunyan. He spent 12 years in jail. 12 years. At any six-month interval, he could have got out. Every 6 months, they came to him, they just didn't want him preaching and witnessing on the streets. And every 6 months, if you just say you're not going to do it, we'll let you out. And he basically said, if you let me out today, I'll be preaching on the streets tomorrow. They weren't going to shut him up. I wonder how many of us would do that. We would talk ourselves out of it. Well, you know, I'll tell them that, and I'll just be a secret witness. But he didn't. He was willing to suffer for the witness. We don't have to suffer. Yes, people may not like Christianity, but we're just to be a witness, a verbal witness, a testimony of all that's going on. You say, but that's fearful. How could I ever tell somebody about Jesus Christ? How could I ever let them know? Well, they won't listen. Well, I love the verse in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. He says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Another one who wasn't ashamed, Paul. For it is the power of God to salvation to everyone believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So where's the power that comes to save people? It doesn't come from you. It doesn't come from me. It comes from the gospel. That's our responsibility. We're to give it out. We're not to be ashamed of that. We're not to push back on that. We're not to be fearful. The witness. But he also mentions the work. Verse 9. Of 1 Timothy 1, of 2 Timothy 1, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus. He's called us to a holy calling. What is that holy calling? To serve him with our life, to serve him actively. There's a work for all of us to do. There's something God has called each and every one of us to do. Now witnessing is not a service or a work. It's a command of God. But God wants us all to serve him. We can't be ashamed of him. This world needs Christians that are out there serving and helping one another. We can't back down on that. Verse 10, he talks about the wind, another great asset. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now I like this. Who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Man, Jesus Christ was a victor. Jesus Christ defeated the greatest enemy of all time, death. And not just death, eternal death. And if we serve him, we're on the winning side. You know what we're trying to do when we're serving our communities, when we're sharing the gospel, when we're not being ashamed of what we believe? We're out there trying to recruit people to the winning side. If you want to see it as a spiritual battle, we can recruit people from the other army onto our army. But they need something in their life. People are fearful of death. They have no clue what is coming. They live blindly, heading towards an eternity that is either going to be with Christ or without. Listen, Jesus Christ overcame death. We don't have to fear it. Now, we may not like it. We may not like the way that it happens. But there's nothing to fear after death if you know Jesus Christ. Nothing. He abolished it. We are on the winning side. When people look, you look at these people, and I look at some of the things that are going on in our society and some of the stuff that is just accepted, and not only accepted, but promoted. I think of those people, but sadly, without Christ, one day they'll face God for all that they've done. And they don't have the blood of Jesus Christ to cover their sins. That's sad. But we who are on the winning side, we don't face that. We have nothing to fear. See, he's abolished death, so why are we afraid of this life? Why are we afraid of all that's going on? We may not like it. I don't like it. You don't like it. But we don't need to fear it. The problem might be that we live sometimes too much for this world and we live too little for the next. We think too much about today and our future on earth and we don't think about our future in eternity. Folks, we're on the winning side. Lastly, acceptance has reliable assurance. Look at verse 12. By the way, how many know the hymn? For I know whom I am, believe it. That's this verse right here. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. Maybe that's the reason we're ashamed right there, because we're not thinking about Jesus Christ, we're thinking about ourselves. And am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. If we just think about all that Christ did here and all that this verse says, we will not be fearful. We will not be ashamed. We will live in victory and we will let everybody know, hey, there's a better way to live and his name is Jesus Christ. He tells us several things in this verse. He talks about the cause. For the which cause I suffer these things. You see, Paul's saying, here's the assurance. I know I'm suffering. And by the way, Paul did. Paul suffered from the time he got saved that day forward until he was martyred. It was a rough hole for Paul. But he says, I know why I'm suffering. Because I'm suffering for this cause, Jesus Christ. He was assured that he was serving Jesus Christ and he was doing the right thing, and because of that, he was willing to suffer. See, we forgot our cause. We forgot the cause of Christ. We forgot that God didn't just save you so you can go to heaven. God has a purpose for your life on this earth. We live for a cause, and the cause is to lift up Jesus Christ and spread light to this dark world. We get caught up in all kinds of causes. By the way, I'm sure, I think today, and I'm not following it, is the first day of football season. Is anybody on right? And I'm sure some people are at home having church right now watching football. That's not my cause. And by the way, they have a cause, that's why I don't watch them at all anymore. But when you have a bigger cause, that stuff is peripheral. That stuff doesn't matter. Our cause is living for Jesus Christ. Maybe that's why we struggle with it. But Paul was willing to die for it. Paul was willing to suffer for it because he understood what was behind it, Jesus Christ. And then he had a conviction. I like this. I suffer these things, nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know. What a conviction. He goes, I know who I believed in. Let them be criticized. Let them be put down. Let all the nonsense go. I know whom I have believed in. By the way, we need Christians that have some conviction. We need Christians that say, you know what? I know this book is true. Therefore, I'm going to follow this book, and I'm not going to follow what other people say. I'm not going to look around at what the world is saying and what they're criticizing us about. I'm going to follow the convictions of this book. But the fact of the matter is, the average Christian will not, because they like what they'd like to do. By the way, the world knows that. That's why they push stuff in our face, because we'll back down on it. Well, I know they're pushing that stuff, but I really like that football team. Well, I know this company is doing this, but I really like what they're putting out. Listen, we got to have some conviction somewhere. Sometimes it's a smaller level. Well, I know the Bible says we shouldn't be doing that, but I really like that. Let's have some conviction. His conviction was in Christ. He said, I know whom I have believed in. Why? Because there was a connection. I know whom I have believed in. He was connected to Christ. He had a relationship with him. By the way, it is hard to live for Christ if that relationship is not very good, right? That's why it's very important we spend our time with God, and he's not just someone we've trusted as our Savior. It's someone that we spend time with each and every day. And I encourage you to do so. You should have a living relationship with God. It's not just something you're reading in the book. It's something that's active in your life. It says, I know whom I have believed in. I'm connected to Christ. When we taught through John chapter 15, and it talked about how we can have fruit in our life and as Christian, and how God works in our life as a Christian. You know how it works? It works when we're connected to Christ. All the things that Paul did, all the things that Paul went through, he would never have been able to go through that if he did not have that relationship with Christ. It was close. And because of that closeness, he was able to have the power to do what he was supposed to do. And then there's also a commitment. He's, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I committed. Paul said, I'm committed to him. I've committed my very soul to him. And I know that he's able to see it through. See, we don't really believe that God is able. We read the Bible, and the Bible talks about the best life to live is the committed life. Right when the airplane comes. He's in a hurry. A little bit longer than I anticipated there. Thank you. Commitment. We're not committed. Are we really persuaded? God tells us in the Bible that the best life that a Christian can live is the abundant life, or the Christian life. But yet, the average Christian doesn't. Why? They're really not committed and persuaded that it's actually the best way. See, you can tell me what you believe, but I can know what you believe by watching how it plays out in your life. Remember the old illustration where the guy is crossing the wire across Niagara Falls, one of these, you know, tightrope walkers, and he gets on a bike and he rides the bike across the wire, and the crowd's all sitting there clapping, and he asks the crowd, how many of you think I could do that with someone on the handlebars? And they, oh, yeah, you could do it. And then he points to one of them and says, get on. And the guy's like, I thought you meant somebody else. See, so his belief didn't actually line up with his actions. Our beliefs ought to line up with our actions. Not that we're going to be perfect. That ought to be the direction of our life. But Paul was committed. Listen, we live in a world where we need to make a decision. We need to decide whether we're going to be serious about the things of God or whether we're not. Don't let fear keep you. Don't let what the world is pushing in our face. Look, that's just what the world does. Just live with it. We're supposed to look to the scripture. And we're either going to be ashamed and fearful, or we're going to accept what God has laid out for us. What about you? Is that your life? Are things around you kind of helter-skelter, and you're just kind of all over the map right now? Maybe we need to make sure we're connected to Christ, but we need to accept the task that he's given us at hand and the resources he's given us to complete it. Let's all stand together this morning. Let's all bow our head and close our eyes for just a minute. Just want you to think about this. How are you reacting to all that's going on around us in these days? I think things are starting to settle down a little bit, although our governor may disagree. But do we think, I know, it's so easy. Businesses have been lost. Good people have lost their businesses. People struggle financially. I get it. But we have nothing to fear. In the midst of all that's going on around us, let's just lovingly and kindly be unapologetic about our love for Jesus Christ, our belief in God's word, and our stand for that which is right. Let's do that. Let's not back down. You know, a lot of times people pray for revival in our country. What they mean by that, they want to see God do a working in our country, get back to where it used to be, and all the ills that are happening that are hurting people could be wiped away. And people pray for that, and I want that too. But let me say this, and I believe this. Whenever I pray, I say, Lord, if every Christian that was really saved would just stand up and do the right thing, our country would be changed tomorrow. But we don't. We're so influenced by what's around us instead of being influenced by our love for Christ and his desire to work in our lives. Is he working in your life today? You see, we'll never make a difference in our community if we don't let him. We get sucked up in so many things, false beliefs, you name it. Let us follow Christ as Paul did. And as he admonished Timothy to do. Let's pray. Father, we're grateful for your word. We're grateful for the resources you give us, which all of us, including myself, would say we don't avail ourselves of as often as we should. Lord, you've given us power, love, and a sound mind. Lord, you've given us a reason to have rock-solid beliefs, conviction, courage, and compassion. I pray you would help us, Lord, to focus more on you than on everything else that's going around us. Bless us now until we meet together tonight at 7. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.